Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from America's finest city, it's the John Cantara Show.
Ho-ho, doctor!
Now, here's the coach, John Cantara, on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, good Tuesday afternoon to everyone, and welcome to 97.3 The Fan. John Cantara, better known as the coach around San Diego and Southern California. Great to have you with me today. We got a great show planned, couple of great guests coming up at 12:35. Former Padre announcer, now Miami Marlins announcer, Glenn Gefter going to join me on the program. And later in the 1 o'clock hour, right about 1:30, great guy, longtime writer, now a radio broadcaster on the Hall of Fame Network, Clark Judge. We're going to talk a little NFL today on the program. And as usual, we love to get out and get to phone calls. A bevy of phone calls yesterday. A lot of people taking shots at the Padre manager yesterday, Andy Green, and we're going to be talking about Andy Green a little bit later in this half hour, but I want to get those phone numbers out to you. Our number, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. A reminder, tomorrow is the 80th opening day of the Del Mar Thoroughbred Club. Yours truly, along with my great producer, Jim Russell, we will be out there at the plaza level of the Del Mar Thoroughbred Club on the fairgrounds of Del Mar. Looking forward to seeing all you great fans come out tomorrow. We had to have a lot of fun out there tomorrow. Jimmy?
You figure out what you're going to wear?
Yeah, I'm going to wear a pair of black slacks, and I've got this white and black shirt I'm going to wear. It's kind of like a Tommy Bahama shirt.
So I shouldn't dress up?
You know, I thought originally, you know, a lot of people are going to be dolled up tomorrow. The ladies are going to be dolled up. They're going to have the hat contest and all that fun stuff on opening day. A lot of guys will be wearing suits. But you know what? I'm past that. I'm not going to wear a suit tomorrow. I'm going to broadcast comfortably, and we're going to have a great time out there tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't think I'd wear a suit. It's going to be
I've worn a suit
hell.
On opening day out there, but I don't want to sit there and sweat for 3 hours.
No, it's going to be way too hot to even think about wearing a suit.
You excited about going tomorrow?
I said before the show, I'm a little iffy just because I don't like
it's
crowds.
It's a big crowd tomorrow.
I mean, big crowds are going to be... It's all about the parking and getting in. But we have parking passes. I guess that's fine.
Well, the gates, just for you fans out there, normally on a regular day, the gates open 2 hours before post time. Post time at 2 o'clock. But on opening day, they open 2.5 hours. So the gates will open tomorrow at 11:30. If you're coming out, make it a plan. Stop by and say hello. Love to meet all you great 97.3 listeners. Well, again, we'll be in the plaza area of the Del Mar Thoroughbred Club tomorrow. We got a lot to talk about today. Jim, you know, last night I went home, and I've kind of got into a routine. You and I do our promo. I try to get through the traffic. I go home. I give my wife a hug and a kiss, and we'll either eat dinner around 4:30, and then I go out on the patio because it's really cool out there, and I'll start working. And then by about 6:30, you know, I start winding down, and I want to go in and maybe catch some of the late games that started at 4 o'clock leading up to a game on the West Coast at, you know, 7:07, like an Angel Stadium or 7:10. But last night I went home, and I thought a lot about this Padre ball club. I mean, if you're A.J. Preller right now, you've got some very, very difficult decisions to be made going into this road trip. I mean, you got 9 games, the first of 3 tonight against the Miami Marlins. And I think, really, in the way I look at it right now, the way the Giants are playing, and I don't know if people out there are paying attention to what the Giants are doing right now. They won that doubleheader yesterday, 19-2. They won the nightcap 2-1. They're half game back of the Padres right now. If the Padres were to lose tonight and the Giants win again in Colorado, Padres would be a half game in last place. I mean, they'd be a half game back of the Giants. Giants would be in fourth. Padres would be in last. I wouldn't have thought that 2 weeks ago. But the Giants now have won 11 of 13. Bruce Bochy's got this ball club humming right now. I was listening to Dwayne Kuiper, the voice of the Giants today, and he was talking about, Bochy his last year, and I'll get into that at some point during the show. But he was talking about really when the Giants started to take off, believe it or not, he goes, when Alex Dickerson came from the San Diego Padres, it changed the entire complexion of the Giants lineup. And now all of a sudden Brandon Crawford's waking up. He had three homers yesterday, drove in nine runs yesterday. Buster Posey's starting to hit. Kevin Pillar, Mike Yastrzemski, Alex Dickerson, all those guys getting the job done. They do lose Evan Longoria, who was starting to kind of heat up a little bit. He goes on the IL right now with plantar fasciitis. But I wouldn't have thought the Padres would be right there close to the cellar. So they go into Miami tonight. They got Logan Allen, a 22-year-old left-hander on the mound, going against right-hander 23-year-old Jordan Yamamoto, who's off to a really nice start in his big league career. The Padres did not play the Marlins well here in San Diego. I think it's imperative the Padres go in there tonight, win this game. They got to win at least two out of three in this series before they move on to the friendly confines on Friday to take on the Chicago Cubs. Then they'll have an off day next Monday, and then they'll be at Citi Field to take on the struggling New York Mets. By tonight, Jim, by the time we hit the airwaves tomorrow, unless the Padres win a ball game tonight, we could talk about them being in last place tomorrow.
Like a week and a half ago, that was just, you could never, that would have been something that you wouldn't even think of happening. And now it's right at their feet that they could be in last place. That's not good. They're closer to last than they are to first.
Yeah, now, granted, still only 2.5 out in the wild card right now.
That wild card's just a junk, like it's a cluster of a lot of teams.
If you're AJ Preller, what are you going to do right now? I mean, what are you going to do? Or I mean, I'm looking at it from a general manager standpoint. You want to win. You want to try to get into the playoffs. But if you get that second wild card, say you win the first game. Okay, you win the wild card game, and then you get the Los Angeles Dodgers. So, I mean, I guess that's something to build on. But are you going to mortgage the future to try to get into one wild card game? And if you lose that, you're out. But if you win, you got to play the Los Angeles Dodgers?
I don't think you'd mortgage the future. I don't see him trading Mackenzie Gore or Luis Patino or guys like that.
Well, it depends. How about if you trade Renfro or Reyes?
I think to get into a wild card game not only would give this team a boost of experience, but now it's really, I mean, they're trying to set expectations here, and they haven't made the playoffs in over a decade. So getting to a wild card game would establish some true expectations for this club and franchise. Like, to get to that game, and if they win, okay, say they win a wild card game, right? And they go to the division round, they get swept by the Dodgers. I mean, wouldn't you be okay with that? Instead of not making the playoffs?
Well, it depends what I had to give up maybe to get there. I don't know. Are they going to trade Kirby Yates? I don't know. I mean, when you're only 2.5 out of the wild card, you're got a tough decision to be made. The problem is,
I say, just
and
get
I
me
talked
to the
about this yesterday.
Just get me in.
This team is trending down right now. They're not trending up. We can be overly optimistic. Oh man, 2020. They're going to do it. Really? Are they going to do it? I don't know. There's still so many unanswered questions with this ball club right now. The starting rotation's a big question mark. I know you're going to get Garrett Richards next year. What are you going to do in center field? What's the future of Luis Urias at second base? Can he play on the everyday level as a major league second baseman? I have no idea. And you know what? The Padres don't know either right now. I mean, it's not going to be Ian Kinsler. I know he's on a two-year deal. I can't imagine him being the second baseman when we open up at the end of next March or early April as a Padres second baseman. And what are you going to do behind the plate? I mean, really, what are you going to do behind the plate? Is it going to be Austin Hedges another year hoping he can hit 220? Francisco Mejia, who we don't have an idea whether or not he can be an everyday catcher. I mean, let's go back to last year. And I want to hear from the fans on this one. Who won the trade between Cleveland and the Padres in the Brad Hand, Francisco Mejia deal? My opinion on that is it's too early to tell because we don't really know. Right now, we're in the mix of trying to figure out whether or not Mejia is a frontline catcher or not, or just a major league player, let alone a frontline catcher. I mean, right now, Cleveland's won that trade. Brad Hand became an all-star again this year with the Indians. I know his name's out there in trade rumors right now, but we'll have to wait and see. The Indians are playing a lot better. They're in the wild card hunt right now in the American League. But I don't know. I mean, long term, did the Padres hit a bonanza with Francisco Mejia? Right now, I'd have to say no. But right now, he's getting his first opportunity to show what he can do on a regular basis at the major league level. But every move you make, you want to strengthen your team, obviously, for this year, try to finish over 500. Whether or not you make the playoffs or not, I don't know. But you got them. Every move you're making is for 2020 right now, because that's the year. Remember, the Padres earmarked 2020 is the year they're going to go to the playoffs and do some damage. So, you know, it'll be interesting. But you know what? AJ's always got something up his sleeve. And they're going into New York in the middle of next week. And maybe he'll pull off that Syndergaard deal. But who are you going to have to give up to get Noah Syndergaard? That's a big question, Jim.
Yeah, that is the question. If they're even truly going after him as hard as we want them to.
I want to hear what the fans have to say today on this, because if I'm the general manager, I'm sitting in my office right now. I don't know whether or not I need to make a big move right now to try to give this ball club a little extra oomph towards the trading deadline and try to get him into the wild card hunt and keep him in the wild card hunt. But I know one thing, Andy Green's got to get this ball club playing a hell of a lot better baseball than we've watched the last couple of weeks. I mean, this ball club really scuffling right now. And they're going in against a team tonight that has lost 8 of their last 10 in the Miami Marlins. So they've got to pick it up starting tonight. And that game gets underway with our pregame show at 3:10. First pitch will be at 4:10. Our phone number is 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. And when we come back, I got one for you today, Jim. What are rival officials saying about Andy Green's managing style? I'm going to tell you what they're saying when we return. We're just getting warmed up on a Tuesday. Thanks for joining me, Coach John Quintero. This is 97.3 The Fan. Padre fans, get an instant breakdown of the games with our daily 3-Up and 3-Down Padres video recap on Facebook, 97.3 The Fan. Follow us and add your thoughts on what happened during the game on our Facebook page at 97.3 The Fan. The Padres play here. This is 97.3 The Fan. Thanks again for joining me today. Our phone number, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Coming up bottom of the hour, veteran broadcaster now for the Miami Marlins, former Padre PR man and broadcaster Glenn Gefter going to be joining us today on our SDCCU fan hotline. I'm going to get out to the phones here momentarily. But Dennis Lynn, our good friend from The Athletic, wrote an article. Man, Dennis may have been listening to the show yesterday, because I talked about Saturday night. I didn't like the way Andy Green managed that ball game really at all. Way too many moves, overmanaged a great deal in that ball game. And Dennis Lynn, late last night, came out with an article and kind of took Saturday night's game and went piece by piece by piece, and eventually it led to Luis Perdomo having to bat in the 10th inning with the bases loaded. He struck out because the Padres had no bench players. But Lynn talked to Andy Green. Andy Green said that he screwed up some games in the first half, and he's constantly trying to get better. Now, Andy took some heat yesterday on this program, and then when I was driving home yesterday, he took some heat on the Gwynn and Chris show. Some of it justified, maybe some of it not justified. I want to get your thoughts on where you're at with Andy Green as the manager of the San Diego Padres. But in this article, they talked to some scouts and people that are out at the ballpark evaluating talent on a regular basis. And they said that Andy Green has an overly aggressive style for a regular season, where he's managing, rather than the 162-game schedule, he's managing every night like a playoff game. And I can tell you, having been around Bruce Bochy and Buddy Black, I think two really fine major league managers, you can't do that. And the reason you can't do that is you exhaust your bullpen. And we've seen that. Now, I also understand those guys were here at a different time with the Padres. Andy's here with a bunch of young guys that their limitations in their innings. But when you can get that extra inning or maybe extra two innings out of a guy, you got to push them. You got to find out if these guys are true major league pitchers. Being a five-inning pitcher, to me, you get a pat on the back, great. But you need guys that can go in the sixth inning and maybe get through a seventh inning. And, you know, we've seen that over the years, but a lot of times veteran pitchers. But the other night, Lucchesi had 79 pitches. He could have, with the game tied and runners on first and third, you could have asked him to bunt. If he doesn't get it down, you still got runners on first and third, and you got Tatis and Hosmer coming up. And he could have got at least one more out of Joey the other night. Instead, he started to get into that double switch situation, and it came back to haunt him in the 10th inning. And I said yesterday, it'd be different if it was the 15th, 16th, 17th inning and you're out of players. You can't be out of players in the 10th inning. You just can't do it. Okay? So anyways, they're talking about his overly aggressive management style during the regular season. But it also stated in this article that Andy does have the latitude during the game to do what he wants. Somebody's not, you know, pressing a buzzer saying, hey, you got to do this, you got to do that. Once the game starts, he's on his own. So I thought it was an interesting read with Dennis Lynn. Andy goes, I got to get better. I got to get better as a major league manager. Remember, he had never managed above double A ball when he got this job. He'd been 1 year the third base coach over there with the Arizona Diamondbacks, and then boom, he got hired here with the San Diego Padres. So give me your take on Andy Green. You think he's doing a good job? Yesterday, a lot of people, I don't think thought he was doing all that great a job. But again, you're coming off a sweep against one of the better teams in baseball, the Atlanta Braves. Braves are playing great baseball right now. 21 games over 500. 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. Out to the phones we head. Mission Valley, Mike, you're batting leadoff with Coach John Quintero on 97.3 The Fan. How we doing today?
Coach, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well. You want to talk on Andy Green?
It's been far too long since I've talked to you, but everything you've been saying the past 5 minutes is music to my ears. Not only what you said about Lucchese being pulled after 79 pitches, that's the third time that's happened this year.
Right.
Andy Green has done that numerous times. See, and then he goes and complains that the bullpen is out of gas when he created that problem. There was one instance this season where he pulled Lucchese out after 78, 79 pitches in like the fourth, the fifth inning, and he was cruising. And then the bullpen got exhausted the rest of the evening, and then the next day he pitched a bullpen game. And then he goes and complains that the bullpen's out of gas. He created that issue. And not to mention, he picks favorites, and I'm sick of it. He picks favorites, and he sticks with those guys like Will Myers, and then he sits Hunter Renfro on the bench for no reason. It drives me insane, Coach. Drives me insane. I'm Kinsler. Why is he in the lineup? I don't get it. Coach, I can't even handle it anymore. Andy Green could not coach himself out of a paper bag. He couldn't coach a little league team.
Well, Mike, I don't know if I agree with you on that. I think that Andy, he's got a lot to learn, in my opinion, as a major league manager. I think he brings some positives, maybe that you and I don't see on a regular basis because we're not down there in that dugout. I will tell you this, the guy is extremely well prepared. I think sometimes maybe too well prepared. And again, there are some limitations that he does have with these players as far as Will Myers. Mike, you've got to play Will Myers. You got to hope that Will Myers can find it once again because you've got $60 million over the next 3 years invested in Will Myers. And you know what? Every night he's not playing, he's sitting on the bench. You're devaluing him as a player. And, you know, somewhere along the line, you know, I know they tried to move him last offseason because they saw it going south in a hurry. But he's on the roster. You've got to play him. Hey, he's done it once. There's no reason why he can't do it again. I would suggest, if they haven't already done it, I would make sure that he's gone to an optometrist and make sure he doesn't need, you know, glasses or contacts.
Coach, I will say this about Will Myers, because I understand what you're saying, that you have to play him to make sure that his trade value, like, if he gets hot, his trade value goes up, and then you can move him. I get it. The issue is, though, Coach, the more he plays, the worse he gets, and he's an injury risk. Can you imagine when he gets injured this season? I'm not saying if. When Will Myers gets injured this season, it's going to be a colossal disaster, because then it will be impossible to move him, Coach.
Well, I think right now it's going to be pretty much impossible unless you attach Kirby Yates to him and ask for very little in return. And hopefully anybody that would take Kirby and Will Myers, you wouldn't have to still pay $30 million of the freight on Will Myers. We'll see where that one goes, but Will's got to get better. I mean, he can't get any worse, to be honest with you. Hey, Mike, thanks for the call.
No kidding. Hey, Coach, I love you.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much for that phone call. And, hey, you know, that's why we have a midday talk show, is to let people get out and say what they have to say during lunchtime. They can go back and they can have a great afternoon at work. Chris in Escondido, welcome to 97.3 The Fan. You're on with Coach John Quintero. How you doing today? Chris, are you there?
Yeah, hey, how you doing, Coach?
I'm doing well.
Long
thanks for the call.
Glad you guys got this show up on and running. Hey, Jim, how you doing?
So, man, how you doing, Chris?
I'm doing great, man. Happy to hear you guys back on the radio. I just had a comment regarding Andy Green.
Okay.
It's just a roller coaster ride with this guy, man. We went out into the All-Star break, seeing us beating the Dodgers in L.A., the number one team in the National League, and now we're here and we just can't do it. We were expecting to come back from the break and have a great time, you know, but we already lost the whole series to the Braves at home. We got swept.
But you know what, Chris? Here's the deal with the Padres. They have not played well at home all year, and we've talked about that. But the Padres are a goofy enough team. They could go out on this road trip and go 6-3, and all of a sudden, bingo, now they're back to the 500 mark. Are they going to be buyers? Are they going to be sellers? Are they going to stay in the wild card hunt? This is a goofy team, and I mean that with love, because these guys do have talent, and if they get some starting pitching and the bullpen could come around, they could do some damage here in the second half.
I totally agree with you, Coach. I love what you're saying there. And you're totally right. We just need to have a little more consistency and maybe a little better boost in the starting pitching. I would hate to see Kirby Yates go. Will Myers, he's had a pretty, really tough season.
Yeah, a very difficult year.
But, you know, there's changes that need to be made, and it's like you were saying, it goes up to the general manager, you know, and he's got to make some moves.
Well, he's got a lot on his plate right now. Chris, great call, and always great to hear from you up there in Escondido. You have a great day and stay cool.
All right. You too, Coach. Thank you. All right, Jim. Take it easy, guys.
You know, Jim, I've always wanted to be a general manager, and I was for 6 years with the Sockers, and we had a great run while I was the GM, 3 league titles, 5 division titles in 6 years, made the playoffs all years.
Look at you having a dynasty.
Huh?
I said, look at you having a dynasty.
I got 3 championship rings, but I always thought if I was ever a general manager, it would probably be in baseball. I mean, that would still be my goal. But being a general manager in baseball now is so difficult. You have to have such a great staff, and AJ is very fortunate. He got some great guys down there working with him, and Josh Stein and Freddie Uhlman Jr. Those guys, you don't get any better guys than that.
Yeah, everyone thinks that AJ just does everything by himself.
No, not at all.
He has so many people working around
him. And good people.
Obviously, AJ makes the final call, but like you said, Josh Stein, like he has a big group of people working with him. This isn't just AJ. This is a lot of people.
They got a fantastic staff, and I guarantee you right now, they don't know what direction to go, because you don't know about this ball club and what they're going to do. I mean, if they drop 2 out of 3 and against the Marlins, then I guess maybe you become a seller, but we'll have to wait and see on that one. We're going to get to phone calls. Jose, Joey, Ron, Matt, you guys hang in there. When we come back, Padre fans, you know this name, Glenn Geffner, Marlins announcer. He'll join me next right here on 97.3 The Fan. Coach John Quintero back on 97.3 The Fan. We're going to get back to these phone lines in a minute, so hang in there, Joey, Jose, Matthew. We're going to get to everyone. We got Coach's Corner coming up in about 10 minutes. Again, Bench the Coach coming up at 1:45. We got Padre tickets to give away, and so don't go too far from your radio. But right now, before we get back to those phone calls, we're going to get out to an old friend, former PR director here with the San Diego Padres, broadcaster with the San Diego Padres, now been down in Florida for a number of years, is the Miami Marlins broadcaster, doing a fantastic job. Glenn Geffner joins us on the SDCCU fan hotline. Well, you ready for the ball game tonight, Mr. Geffner?
I'm getting there, Coach. Hey, it's great, before we go any further, to have you back on the radio every day in San Diego. San Diego Radio is better with you on it, and happy with you today.
Well, thank you, Glenn. I appreciate that a great deal. Let's talk about the Miami Marlins, the direction they're going. Derek Jeter's been there for a couple of years now. I know when he first got there, he didn't make a whole lot of friends by moving a lot of players out of the organization. Is it getting a little bit better for him?
Well, he said the day he took over the team that there were some hard decisions to be made coming up, and he was right when he said that. I think as time has gone on, people are beginning to see that he did what he had to do, and that anybody who would have bought this team and inherited the mess both on and off the field that was here would have had to make some dramatic changes. And it's taken some time, but all of a sudden you do see some development at the big league level. But more than that, you see the foundation being built at the minor league level, where what they're looking to do is not put a team together that can get to the World Series and win it once a decade. As you know, they've won a couple of World Series here, but they've never been able to do anything beyond one season here and there. They want to build a team and go to spring training every year with a chance to play in October. And that's everybody's ultimate goal. And the way you do that, as I think fans in San Diego understand now that the Padres have done in recent years, is by building that solid foundation of homegrown talent, which the Marlins have never really had. They've had waves of talent, depth of talent, but all of a sudden, in a year and a half under Derek Jeter and his leadership, we've gone from the number 29 or 30 farm system in baseball to one that most people have in the top 10, and it's climbing the top 10 pretty quickly, particularly after this draft and international signing period. We're starting to see some of these players graduate to the big league level. We've had one of the better pitching staffs in baseball so far this year, particularly in the rotation. So I think fans who were very upset at first are beginning to see the fruits of this work, and hopefully, you know, much better days ahead.
You know, I look at a guy like Don Mattingly, who, you know, is with the Dodgers. He won three straight division titles. All of a sudden, he goes down to Miami and thinks he's got a pretty good ball club. All of a sudden, he's having to change his whole direction as a manager, and he and his staff to have to really do a lot of teaching at the big league level.
A lot of teaching and a lot of development of a culture. And you know what's funny for Donnie, who played his whole career as a Yankee and then managed the Dodgers? This is a guy who is really thriving in this environment. He wants to be a teacher. He wants to mold young talent and go through some of the ups and downs. He's really embraced this, and his coaching staff has embraced it as well. So whereas if you're on the outside, you might not think Donnie's a great fit for this group, I think he's actually the perfect fit watching him every day these last couple of seasons.
Glenn Geffner, voice of the Miami Marlins, joining us on the SDCCU fan hotline. Curtis Granderson, I know he's towards the end of his career, but one of the great guys in baseball, and probably a really nice sign as far as really teaching young guys how to be a pro.
No question. Grandy is about as good a guy as you'll ever meet in this game. You look at the back of the baseball card, he's had a heck of a run over 17 years for a guy who wasn't very highly regarded coming out of the University of Illinois at Chicago, not exactly a baseball powerhouse. But you know, they brought Grandy in this past offseason. They brought Neil Warner in. They brought Sergio Romo in. And part of it was what those three guys could do on the field, but more than anything, it's for the leadership that they could bring in the clubhouse. And just about showing young players the way, what it means to be a big leaguer, how you conduct yourself on and off the field. And while each of the three of them has had some ups and downs on the field so far this year, they've been huge contributors in the clubhouse. And I think the impact that those three have made is going to be felt long beyond the time they play their last game for the Marlins.
Hey, Glenn, tell us a little bit about the right-hander the Padres are going to see tonight. Boy, he's off to a good start in his career, the 23-year-old Jordan Yamamoto.
Yeah, he's a native of Hawaii. He came over in the Christian Yelich trade, and he's off to a heck of a start. As you say, he's made five big league starts, 3-0 with a 1.24 ERA. He shut the Cardinals out over seven, and not just his first big league start, but in his first two big league starts. He threw 14 scoreless against St. Louis. He's the first pitcher to go back to 1908 to have made five consecutive starts to begin his career, working at least four innings and allowing three hits or fewer in each one. He's got a wide array of pitches. He doesn't overpower you, but he's the kind of pitcher, he's got a lot of different ways to get you out. He changes speeds, he moves the ball around. Donnie has said a couple of times that this isn't the guy who scouts would salivate over right now, but you watch him pitch, and you like having him out there. He's done a really nice job. He's very unfazed on the mound by anything that happens. He made the jump from Double-A to the big leagues this year, and he's been terrific so far.
Glenn Geffner joining us on the SDCCU fan hotline. A player that I really like, and a lot of people may not know a lot about him. In fact, and let's face it, there are a lot of guys on this team that aren't household names around Major League Baseball. But Brian Anderson right now hitting .248, probably a better hitter than that. But I think he's a really nice young talent they have.
You're right. He got off to a slow start this year, and he's spent the last 6 weeks still kind of digging out from hitting in the 220s, 230s early on in the season. But this is a guy who is a gamer, who goes out there and plays hard every day, who plays the game with a real passion, a real intensity, and sometimes even beats himself up a little bit too much because he's so intense. But whether you play him at third base, which is probably where he's going to end up in the long run, or in the outfield where he's played a decent amount both the last 2 years as well, he's a tremendous defender. He's got a cannon arm. And he's just one of those guys who he may not be the face of a franchise, but he's one of those guys that if this team is going to be a successful winning team year after year, is going to be a big part of the nucleus of this team. He's a homegrown player at the University of Arkansas, and a guy who's been a lot of fun to watch.
Hey, Glenn, I look at a guy like Martin Prado, Neil Walker, Starlin Castro. I know none of those guys are having huge years. I know Walker, you know, he'll run into one occasionally, only got five homers. But do you see the Marlins making any deals and maybe shipping out some of those veterans?
You know, I think if they could, they would. There's no need to financially. Some of those veteran players, Granderson, for example, a Walker, a Romo, you know, guys who were probably brought in this winter with the thought that they could be gone at the deadline, haven't really put up huge numbers to the point where you think there'd be a huge market for them. If they can spin them for something, I think they would, but there's no need to do that. Really, the need is at some point you want to open up some spots for some players they've got down in Double-A and Triple-A, who they like to get up to the big league level at some point before the season's over. We've got a second baseman tearing it up in New Orleans, Isan Diaz, who also came over in the Christian Yelich trade, who at some point is going to replace Starlin Castro, whether it's down the stretch this year or on opening day next year. He'll be the everyday second baseman here. There's several young outfielders who we need to see either for the first time or see a little bit more of and figure out what we have in a Lewis Brinson, for example. Monte Harrison, who also came over with Brinson and Diaz and Yamamoto in the Yelich trade. Brinson has struggled so far over the past 2 years in the big leagues. He's tearing it up right now in AAA. He'll be back at some point. So I think any trades they make, it's not about money. It's about, you know, incrementally getting better with pieces you might bring back. But more than anything, it's about opening up some spots for some of these talents they'd like to see before this 2019 season's over.
Hey, how many years have you been down there with the Miami Marlins now?
Coach, this is my 12th season.
Wow.
I've been out of San Diego for 17 years now, 5 years with the Red Sox before I came back here. I grew up down in South Florida, so this is a homecoming for me, and it's hard for me to believe it's been 12 years.
That's amazing. It's amazing. It's been 17 since you left San Diego, and you did a great job working for the Padres.
Nothing's changed in San Diego, though, in the last 17 years, right? Nothing's changed at all.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. Hey, before I let you go, how about the fan base? Are they sticking with this ball club right now?
Well, it's not a matter of sticking with the ball club. It's jumping on board, really, more than anything here. This team has such a tortured history, and fans have stayed away in droves for the better part of this franchise's history, whether it's concerns with ownership or players coming and going or the stadium situation playing in the old football stadium. So now I think people are beginning to see that you've got ownership that's committed to doing what it takes to put a winner on the field. The ballpark itself is spectacular. It's one of the great fan experiences in baseball. When there are people in it, it's lively, it's energetic, it's a really nice atmosphere. So really, it's a matter of winning some people over right now, and it's going to take some time. I'm not as patient as maybe some other people are. I want to see it happen overnight. Derek Jeter talks a lot about not being a very patient guy on or off the field. But I think little by little, watching this team play this year, you look at the record, and the record is what it is. What you have to understand is this team started 10-31, Coach, and over the last 50 games, and two games under 500, 24-26, and that's even with the bad last 10 days, 2 weeks. They've been over 500 for the better part of a two-month period. So the team's playing a lot better, and people are starting to see the vision for what this can be in the long haul. And I think once they show that they can win and that there's some young players who you can really embrace, fans are going to show up and support the team.
Well, they're going to get a Padre team that's coming in with a real bitter taste in their mouth. They got beat 3 straight at home by the Atlanta Braves. That should be an interesting series.
You're playing the Braves 3 times, Coach. You play them 19 times a year. And, Coach, the Braves are the Marlins' number. I think we're 2-10 against Atlanta so far this year. They've had the Marlins number for a couple. That's a good team. But you know what? As for the Padres, it's nice to see what they've been able to do over the last few years. And you can see they're right on the cusp. And I truly believe that with some of the veterans they brought in the last couple of years, with the young talent now really beginning to make an impact. I think 2020 could be an exciting time in San Diego.
We're crossing our fingers on that one. Glenn, I hope family's well. Thanks so much for the time and continue great success down there with the Marlins.
Thank you, Coach. Always great to talk with you.
There you go. Glenn Geffner, a play-by-play voice of the Miami Marlins, nice enough to join us on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. I cannot believe it has been 17 years since he and his family moved out of San Diego. Absolutely amazing. We're going to get back to your phone calls shortly. If you want to get on board, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. But right now, as we do each and every day, right around this time, we get to the Coach's Corner.
Coach Ken Terra breaks down the biggest stories in the world of sports right now.
That was the adult in the gym.
In the Coach's Corner on 97.3 The Fan. Number five.
Coach, yesterday Ben Simmons, he signed a five-year, $170 million contract extension with the 76ers. Coach, is Simmons worth that money, especially when he can't shoot a basketball?
Jim, I'm glad you brought that up to me today. And by the way, for the fans out there, Jim doesn't let me know what these stories are. I got to go right off the cuff. I did read this story last night. Ben Simmons, an extremely talented player. He can't shoot a lick. He had to come to San Diego, and I'll teach him how to shoot jumpers and free throws. There's also talk that maybe after signing that deal, they may look to move him. Can you believe that?
That's what the NBA is doing now. You sign a long-term contract, you're more likely to be moved then.
Yeah, he's not very good shooter at all, but a great player.
Not very good. He's probably one of the worst shooters ever.
Oh, I would agree. Got to get in the gym and spend more time in the gym.
I mean, when you're in the era of three-point shooting and you can't
shoot. It's all about three-point shooting now.
Farther away than 10 feet, you got a problem.
Drive and kick. Drive and kick.
Yeah, giving you $170 million for passing.
Number four.
Peyton Manning reportedly turned down a job for Monday Night Football, saying it's not the right time for him. He was also asked about Tony Romo. He said, quote, "I saw where Tony Romo said that he always knew that he wanted to be a broadcaster. Well, I always knew I wanted to be a football player. That's all I knew. I was all in on that job. I didn't think about anything else while I was playing. And I think that's a good way to be. I think you've got to be all in on what you're doing." Coach, is this a shot at Tony Romo by Peyton Manning?
I would hope not. First of all, I think Tony Romo is absolutely fantastic. And the thing that I like about Tony Romo, he hadn't been coached. He says what he sees and what he feels. I think Romo right now, quite frankly, is the best color analyst in the game. I think he's passed up Troy Aikman, the other former Dallas quarterback. As far as Peyton Manning, why does he want to work that hard in broadcasting? Between all the money he made as an NFL player, all the money he's made in commercials, endorsements, just enjoy your family, go to whatever game you want to go to, and wait for you to go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
I would like to see Peyton Manning do Monday Night Football. I'm sure.
I'm a big Peyton Manning fan.
I'm sure ESPN offered him.
Oh, they've offered
all the money.
Well, they offered him before they gave Jason Witten that job a year ago.
Jason Witten, oh.
That didn't work out all that well.
Yeah, not so much.
Well, Joe Tessitore is not exactly a Phi Beta Kappa in NFL. Tessitore is a hell of a broadcaster, though. He's
a
great
broadcaster.
Does a good job on college games, outstanding boxing announcer. But the NFL, he tried to make every play last year of every NFL game like the greatest play in the history of the National Football League.
Once they lost Gruden and Tirico, it was done.
I would agree.
I thought those were two. I thought those two were amazing.
Well, they worked very well together. Mike Tirico is a very solid broadcaster, and he'll eventually take over for Al Michaels, I would imagine.
Number three.
Warriors GM Bob Myers talked yesterday about getting D'Angelo Russell, because obviously everyone thinks that he's going to be traded or they're going to flip him. Here's what Bob Myers had to say to that.
It's been written and speculated, and that's fine. That's what everybody... his job is to do. We didn't sign him with the intention of just trading, and we haven't even seen him play in our uniform yet, and a lot of people have us already trading him. That's not how we're viewing it. Let's just see what we have. Let's see what he is. Let's see how he fits.
Coach, do you believe Bob Myers in him saying that they're going to keep him for the long term?
Well, first of all, I want to go back to that soundbite. Bob Meyer sounded a little nervous while he was doing that interview.
Well, I mean, he's been doing a lot of work. He lost Kevin Durant, lost half of his roster.
Yeah, but Bob Meyer is a proven general manager. He sounded a little nervous when he was talking about D'Angelo Russell. I actually saw D'Angelo Russell interviewed from the Pro Summer League. I can't believe how many games I watched from that Summer League. It was crazy.
But yeah, you texted me the other night, like at 12:30, about the freaking L.A. Lakers-Warriors Summer League matchup.
Yeah, Lakers outlasted them 88-87.
Might have been
night.
A little excessive,
Jordan
though, Coach.
Caroline, the former Nevada Wolfpack forward, had 20 points in that ballgame. But as far as D'Angelo Russell, I heard him interviewed, and he's really excited about that opportunity. He's a really good player. I was not a big fan when he was with the Lakers. He did a really nice job last year with the Brooklyn Nets. I think it'll be very fun to watch how he fits in with Steph Curry and company up there in Golden State. You know, I don't know what to make of Golden State. I mean, when's Klay Thompson going to come back?
It's a wait and see. It's probably a down year for them, but next year.
Does he even play next year, Klay Thompson?
Yeah, he'll be ready by end of January, February.
Yeah,
so
but
it's
I wonder
the trade
what
deadline.
Kind of shape he'll be in.
It's Klay Thompson. The guy wanted to play on a torn ACL anyway. He'll be fine.
He's a gamer.
Big-time gamer.
Number two.
Golden Tate was on with WIDV in Detroit, and he said this about his former quarterback, Matthew Stafford.
Stafford's been the best quarterback I've played with. The guy can flat out play. He's tough, and his attitude's amazing, and he just wants to play ball. And for me, you know, I have nothing but praises for him. I think it's almost unfair that he's such a good player and doesn't have, you know, playoffs or a ring to show for it. And that's, you know, that kind of hurts my heart that I wasn't able to, you know, help change that. But, you know, I think over the last over his career, if you put him in another organization, maybe things are different. I don't know, because I played with some guys over my years that I've won playoff games with.
That was Golden Tate on WIDV in Detroit. Coach, is that a shot at his old quarterback, Russell Wilson, saying Stafford's the best quarterback he's ever played with?
It very well could be. I don't think things went real well with Golden Tate and Russell Wilson on the field or off the field towards the end of his tenure there. I do think Golden Tate has had an outstanding career. Maybe he'll reassess that after he plays with Eli Manning this year with the New York Football Giants. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that one.
Number one.
Goal's new head coach, Kevin Dineen, was on with Ben and Woods this morning. This is what he had to say about becoming the new Goal's head coach.
Here I am, I think, four cities later on the coaching side of things, but wouldn't have it any other way. My family's been really supportive, and you know what? I've lived in Portland, Maine, and Parkland, Florida, and Chicago, and now I get to come to San Diego, and here we are talking hockey in July, which probably doesn't happen too much on the sports radio here, but can't say enough about how excited I am here. And I don't know how many games you guys get to the Goals, but from everything I've heard, they set attendance records every year in the American Hockey League, and it's a great building, great atmosphere. Can't wait to get going.
Coach, is this an upgrade for the Goals?
I don't know if it's an upgrade. I think Kevin Dineen and Dallas Eakins both have a very nice resume. They both coached in the National Hockey League. I think the Gulls being able to get him, courtesy of the Anaheim Ducks hiring him for the Gulls, this guy, it's going to be a great guy like Dallas Eakins. Eakins is a taskmaster. When we were doing the morning show, Jim,
we had him on.
A great guy. And hopefully we'll be able to develop a nice relationship with Kevin Dineen. I remember him very well playing in the NHL. I mean, he's a really, really good player. And he's had success as a coach. Won an Olympic gold medal with the women a few years back. We'll definitely be a participant from time to time on the John Quintero show going forward.
And I think Goals games are so much fun to go to.
Well, you know, he said something to Ben and Woods this morning about, you know, I don't know how many games you get out to. I can tell you, now that I have a normal schedule, I want to get out to more Goals games because I absolutely love the Goals and I love hockey.
And this one is over.
That was the Coach's Corner.
Yes, indeed!
On 97.3, The Fan.
Nice job, Jim. That sound really was good today. A lot of good areas. It really gives us an opportunity to jump around to a lot of different spots. We're going to work our way towards the top of the hour. When we come back, we're going to get back to your phone calls. I know we've had people on there. Everybody's got an opinion on Andy Green. We'll open the phone lines up again. Our phone number, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Coming up about 1:30. We're going to talk with the man from the Hall of Fame Network. Great guy, great NFL guest, Clark Judge, a longtime writer, once upon a time a writer here in America's finest city. But when we come back, as we get to the phone calls, I got a question. Is Fernando Tatis the next Mike Trout? One person thinks so, and you'll hear that when we return right here on 97.3 The Fan.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.